Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello and welcome. My name is Morgana Ray, and I am with my husband, Devin Galladay, right now.
And I am the husband.
Yes, you are.
So we're back for another week.
Yes, we are.
It's 5 o'clock.
For those of you who don't know us, oh, great. We've got callers lined up already, and I'll share the number for that. The number to call in if you want to speak with us live, ask a question, get help, the number is 888-627-6008. For those of you who don't know us, I have been a best-selling author and mentor coach for over 25 years, specializing in love and money. And I manifested this incredibly groovy guy, Devin. You want to tell us about you?
Yeah, some days I'm just a hot mess. But that said, you know, I've been a relationship coach for really quite a while now. And
decades?
I guess you could say that. For decades. And yes, I'm a memoirist and a writer and a traveler extraordinaire. And the publisher of In the Know Traveler, which is not on hiatus, although most travelers to some degree are. So we're receiving a lot more staycation type of articles these days. And so it goes. So,
I kept, during my epic single years, I kept telling the universe I wanted to travel with the love of my life. And I attracted a traveler. And it was Devin's idea that we get married 100 times in 100 countries. And we snuck in 4 more weddings in 4 countries last year before the pandemic. Don't know that any foreign travel weddings are happening this year, but we're still happily married. And honestly, this is just a really rough time. This is one of those moments where it really kind of puts under a magnifying glass how essential, how like life-changing it is to have a partner who is a soft landing. You all know what's going on the planet is really, really rough. However you feel about the lockdown, I'm for it. Devin is against it. We still love each other. But we're also, we had a lot of death in our personal lives last month. My cousin, Devin's brother, very close friend of Devin's, and we're days away from the 1-year anniversary of my father's death, and I'm a wreck. Like, it didn't hit me this hard last year. I maybe, you know, who, grief is mysterious. You never know how it's going to happen, but I'm just like, I just want to cry all the time. And so I've been clinging to Devin extra hard. And he's been there for me. I need even more attention than usual. I send out very subtle clues, like taking off my clothes and throwing myself naked on the floor in front of his feet. And he's able to read through my subtle cues to know that I just need some attention.
Yeah, no, you are known for your subtleties.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a challenging time. On top of that, I ended up doing a ritual gathering of some friends. I spoke about this woman, Anna Kriya King, last week. A very, very important modeler of behavior and things that I really truly aspired to be. And so we did something for her on Saturday that I would like to say it's a tribute. And, you know, I mean, I've got to be honest with you. You know, ironically, we're talking about crazy, sexy midlife love, and anybody tuning in is like, oh, it's the morose, sadness, weepy
show.
And so It really isn't that. And I would say, in fairness, a lot of the stuff, I mean, I think we're supposed to have our feelings and experience them and have meaningful lives. And at the same time, I mean, a lot of what was happening, certainly in the memorial that we were doing, had really much more to do with a celebration. And it had to do with sort of like all of these really incredibly powerful lessons that we had learned from this one person. You know, it was surprising the amount of people that she married. You know, it was just kind of like she was there for all of these big kinds of monumental events in people's lives. And I think it was really special. And in much the same way, your father was special for people, I think. But it's important to just sort of like not lose sight of the fact that we're human. And then we have these feelings that we can't necessarily control, and nor should we.
Well, in the good news, there were some light moments over the last couple of weeks. Devin asked me to cut his hair, and I gave my first quarantine haircut, and that will give us laughs for years to come.
Oh, yeah, no, that was... So what had happened was I decided my hair was like 2 inches long, and it made me crazy. So that's probably... So I, on my own, decided to cut my own hair. And so I took
what
out the clippers.
What
could
wrong?
Go wrong with that? That's that's a high-end move on my part. And so I started with those little like $15 shears that you would get like at, you know, at Rite Aid or something. And so I'm using the shears. And of course, I'm like doing like three swipes on the side and lopping off huge chunks of hair. And then I did on the back and then on the side. And after I had done like these huge chunks, like in just...
Like you're molting.
It was terrible.
Like and so, patches of hair on the sides of his head.
And that's when the clipper just simply died. It like all of a sudden it was not going to work anymore. So I, instead of saying, okay, wait, maybe I need to regroup here, I thought, well, I know, I'll just even it out with some scissors by myself, and started lopping off more. And then when it was clear, it was like, oh my gosh, this couldn't get worse. I called in my, I called in my wife's steady hand and superior haircutting vision to take over.
Oh, it's perfect for like haircutting textbooks on everything to do wrong.
Right. And, you know, the good news is that we do have a sense of humor about it. And I don't wear a hat because I don't care. And it's fine. So I went out looking like a total
nuts.
A total, like really, like there was a point I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, oh, my gosh, if I saw me in the street, I would call the police. I would run in the opposite direction.
Ah, well, there was that. That was nice. So back to soft landing. And by the way, there is a piece of that where a different relationship partner might have blown up and gotten really upset. And part of what makes this relationship work is, honestly, Devin tends to be so incredibly even-keeled and laid back. Not a pushover. He holds his points of view very, very firmly, but he's also kind of, for me, he is a soft landing. I don't think a relationship can take two dramatic people, at least not at our age. The value of drama really goes down every year in my life. I don't need the excitement of heartbreak anymore. So, Devin, what is a soft landing? What does that mean
just,
to you?
I mean, I think we have a caller. Do we want to hear what the what's going on with the caller first?
Okay.
See what's going on with them and check in with them. And then maybe it's not soft landings. Maybe it's, you know,
well, let's see.
A hard diving board into a block of cement.
Is our caller there? And I'm...
Well, maybe not.
Oh, let's have our caller live.
Yes,
Celeste.
Okay, so Celeste, let's hear what's going on with Celeste's world.
Hello, Celeste? We're just waiting. Oh, okay.
All right.
Maybe Celeste will come back. Okay. We took too long. So
we tend to do that.
We will be faster, I promise. If you want to call in, the number is 888 627-6008 because we are actually now ready for calls. And while we wait for our next caller, Devin, what does a soft landing mean to you? Because you were the one who came up with this phrase in one of our wedding ceremonies.
I don't know if I did come up with it. What I do remember when I was a kid was a Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bruno the Magnificent was challenging Bugs Bunny to a high dive competition. I, Bruno the Magnificent, will drop 1,000 feet on block of head with mine head yet. Anyway, that was not a soft landing. So I didn't invent the hard landing nor the soft landing. I just knew that I didn't want what Bruno the Magnificent had earned in that particular cartoon. I would say that when I think about it, a soft landing is the art of giving your partner what they need when the chips are down. And I think what's important about that is not I think the real crucial part is not giving what it is that I might always give under certain circumstances. In other words, I need to know enough about the person that I'm with. And this is true, I think, of not only of any relationship, but of any friendship, that I have to kind of have a sense in my mind of what's going to be useful to that person. And I think that's kind of like the crucial component. Now, you know, if you are choosing somebody as a life partner or a spouse, or you're in a relationship, whether it's new or not, I think really one of your key things is to find out, like I would actually say it's two things. But one of the key things is have a sense of what it is you can give that other person that they need. And maybe that is space. I like space. Like I want to take the brunt on my own, and then at some point I will resurface, and then I can have that conversation, or I can have my feelings or whatever. But, you know, I think initially I just like, hey, I just need to go check out in the other room and feel like I'm numbing or zoning out or something. So I know that about myself, but I also know when with other people that, you know, not everybody handles circumstances and situations the same. And sometimes it's about making sure that I'm available to offer a hug or advice or quiet time or, you know, handholding or whatever it is, but it's some other thing. And so the soft landing may be a series of actions, but it's more importantly, it's going to be catered to the individual. That's because I think that's the most way you're going to be useful.
Well, and the real tricky thing is being a soft landing when you don't feel like it. Like when it's really uncomfortable. And, you know, we went on that trip last year to France and Belgium and Spain and Portugal, and it was rough. It was really the roughest time, I think, that we had had in our marriage. It was just a really, I mean, it was beautiful and it was gorgeous. And we had some really deep, profound wedding ceremonies. And there were times where I just didn't know if our marriage was going to make it. And it was really painful because we were having trouble being a soft landing for each other. But one of the things is, even when you're not feeling safe and even when you're not feeling loving and you're really having trouble, just the willingness to come back to the table, to be nice when you don't feel like being nice, to be kind, to be willing to make a gesture or receive a gesture. A lot of science was done on that with a Dr. John Gottman, who was really the first doctor to empirically study relationships over 20 years. And he got to the point where he could see within 5 minutes with like 95 to 99% certainty which marriages were going to make it. Marriages that were going to make it or not going to make it had the same number of irreconcilable differences. That isn't what made a marriage work or not work. What made a marriage work was the willingness to reach out and be loving and accept that reaching out. And I think that has a lot to do with being a soft landing is, you know, being kind when you want to kill the other person. You're making a very odd face right now, Devin.
I mean, I appreciate kindness, and I think kindness is always important within a relationship. I just don't know if it's, you know, I think part of the soft landing is giving what the other person needs when they want it. And so part of it is, you know, it may not have anything to do with kindness for an individual. I just want to leave that open. I'm not saying you should not be kind to a person. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is if somebody needs a sort of like, you know, sorry, I always speak in sort of like analogies, and I refer to things that of images that pop in my brain. And I remember a movie called Moonstruck. And anyway, I don't remember even the story of it.
The slapping scene?
Right. I remember the chair slapped some guy across the face and said, snap out of it. And once in a while, that's not necessarily kindness or lovingness in action. Maybe it is. But what I'm saying is sometimes we need a snap out of it moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's time, like if somebody's, you know, I want to give you what you want, and what you want may be, I just want to lay in my pajamas all day long. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're hiding from the world and not being productive and not sort of like going after the things that you want, occasionally somebody needs to come along and give you, you know, a snap out of it moment where it's like, okay, it's time to, you know, get dressed and go out and go after the kinds of things that you want, especially now when we're, you know, in such an odd time in the
yeah.
universe where everything is sort of, you know, locked down and sort of nuttiness. I even have, you know, I'm the guy who accepts friends, like friend requests from people from like Zimbabwe and Ghana and stuff like that, people I don't know at all. And then I end up having these conversations with folks. And so part of me, because I love this whole travel thing, but I like to know what's happening, what's important to somebody else around the world. And maybe this all goes to the soft landing thing. Like I want to learn about cultures because I, you know, part of it is when I learn something that is like unique or interesting about a culture, right? Because of my experience of traveling to it, I think it's really important to understand that there's more ways than my way that it can work.
Well, and our soft landings are very different. You need space. Like my way of being kind, my way of giving you what you need is to let you be alone, let you play your guitar or write or whatever, or just curl up and play Pokemon or whatever you need to do. And my soft landing is needing touch and words and kissing because we have different love languages. And that's part of it is like what makes you feel loved is not completely different than mine, but it has different emphasis than what makes me feel loved is when you show up at night and you bring me a gray cat. That to me is like you're wooing me. That lets me know I'm loved.
Right. I don't know if it makes the cat know that.
The cat's not complaining.
No, the cat's not complaining. The cat's a very happy, well-adjusted cat.
I wanted to share what inspired this show and this topic, and is I saw a really sad post on social media about a week ago from someone who had just lost a cousin, just like me, but her husband didn't have the tools or the willingness, or I have no idea, I don't know the husband, but for some reason he was not being comforting to his wife. He just wasn't emotionally present or giving her what she needed, and it was excruciatingly painful for her. So I actually sent her Devin's ebook, which you can download for free anytime you want at crazysexymidlifelove.com. Devin wrote an ebook years ago called Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. He actually wrote it for his daughter. And she, you know, it's all about how do you get what you need? How do you get your needs met, women, when men operate and think differently than we do and they don't get our subtle clues? So her experience of the same event I was going through with my cousin's death, it was such a contrast that I really wanted to spend an hour talking about how we create a soft landing and how we get it, if we can get it in our relationship. And I don't know that, I mean, that's one of the must-haves in a relationship. I don't think, for example, Devin and his ex-wife were able to satisfy that for each other.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to...
And by the way, she's wonderful. She's beautiful. She's really nice. I met her. I like her a lot. I understand why he married her.
And honestly, out of respect to her, I'm not going to bring up things that we didn't get along on, you know, just out of her anonymity. But, you know, what I will say, the thing that's coming up for me, just when you describe that woman who's like not getting what she needs from her husband, there's two things to that. Part of that thing, and as a matter of fact, I talk about this in the ebook, is that women are smarter than men from the standpoint that I think women pick up on, and this is, of course, not true. I'm making very general statements here, and I understand that there's outliers and there are men who are great at this and women who are not great at this, but my experience has been is that women communicating with other women are able to pick up on things that most men just don't. In ways, in other words, they communicate in ways that men don't necessarily do. And so they're adept at picking up sort of the subtleness, the cues from each other. And then what happens is that, and I've had this happen to me, and I've had it happen to lots of guys, and then I've had women talk to me about it many, many times. And so a woman will say, oh, this, my husband's not seeing this. And then, of course, the friend goes, well, I see it. How could he not see it? Because he must be not caring or not loving or it doesn't matter or whatever. And then there ends up getting built a little narrative about this stupid guy who maybe he's unaware and maybe he doesn't get it. And it also may be that whether or not the woman is actually saying, this is what I need, is not there. Right? In other words, it's very easy to build the narrative when somebody does something that you don't like, to say, oh, they must be doing it on purpose. It must be happening for a very specific reason. And maybe the reason is he doesn't love me or he doesn't care. And more often than not, it's that a guy doesn't necessarily have that sort of like built-in mechanism that women do. And that's why women, in my humble opinion, women are far more emotionally available. They're much more in tune to notions of community, of how to work well with others. And I think guys don't have that. I mean, I think we can learn that. I think it can take time. But I think what ends up happening is that if a woman doesn't know precisely what she wants and she's waiting for the guy to know, he's not going to know. And even if she knows what she wants and needs, and it hasn't been expressed to that guy, and this is true of men as well. In other words, if you know what you need and you're not expressing it to your primary partner, then it's almost like a problem waiting to happen.
What about when you are expressing what you're needing and you're not getting it?
Well, it depends on how you're expressing it. In other words, it's one thing to say, you know, one of the things that I describe is sort of like there's a trail of breadcrumbs that get left. And, you know, if you can follow the trail of breadcrumbs, that's terrific. But if you can't, if you're not good at tracking it down, you know, one of the examples I give that comes from my own life is that I remember a woman I was with sort of like held up a dress to herself and says, don't you think this dress would look good on me? And then put it back on the rack. And, I was sort of like seeing that, oh, we've got a couple callers. Should we just jump out? I'll finish my story
okay.
in a minute.
So we have, let's start with Alan on line two and then go to Helen on line four after Alan. Alan, are you there?
I am, yes. Good evening. How are you today?
Oh, excellent. Hi, Alan. How can we help? What's going on with you?
Well, probably a proverbial question in terms of married couples is that dealing with financing. You know, I'm kind of the principal breadwinner, and my wife is an artist, and a little more free spirit, I guess. And so we get into kind of discussions about me providing and she spending. So is there a way to maybe deal with the money issue? I know, Morgana, you've written a lot about the money, honey, kind of thing. So I appreciate your thoughts about that.
What exactly is the challenge? What is? I'm not hearing exactly what the problem is yet.
Oh, okay. I guess it may be that maybe I'm feeling some level of resentment, perhaps, and I'm working hard every day, kind of bringing the dollars in, and I feel like maybe there's not an appreciation for frugality and being a little more careful with the expenditures, perhaps.
So there are a couple of things going on here, if I dig a little bit. I don't know if you're feeling used. I also don't know if you're feeling shame that you don't have more to give freely without limitation.
Are
either of those ringing a bell?
I think maybe the first one might be a little more apropos. Just feel maybe a little bit feeling perhaps a little used maybe sometimes. When I dig down into it, I'm thinking, well, maybe that's not really true, but sometimes it just pops up.
Yeah, well, that is definitely a money monster. Like any feelings of insecurity or unlovability you have, it's going to show up and kind of taunt you and attempt to poison the relationship. So two things are going on here simultaneously, which is clear communication and boundaries, like clarity for you, what you need in the relationship to what kind of boundary would feel good for you. And honestly, the bigger piece is always, always going to be you and your relationship with yourself and your relationship with your own lovability and your relationship with your own worth and deservingness, because no matter what rules you put into place, that doubt will eat away at you as long as you have that doubt about your own lovability.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. If you haven't, I invite you to head over to my website, because this is my specialty, at MorganaRay.com. Start easy with the video series. You can also poke around in the blog. Take the quiz. Also will point you to more really just free and easy resources to just kind of take a look at that underlying issue. Because in my experience, when you feel really solid with your own value and your own lovability, it's like the whole universe and your relationship partner kind of fall in line. And if you need to set boundaries or limits, it's not scary, it doesn't hurt, and there's less resistance because it's not a projection of your own stuff.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I do certainly have some self-esteem issues, so that makes it falls in line with some of the things I've been working on before. So thank you very much, and I will take a look at your website.
Thank you for calling. I have so much compassion for you. You know, just hi, welcome to being human, Alan. That's all it is.
Thank you, Morgana. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
I did have a thought.
Oh.
No, you don't have to stay on if you don't want to, Alan, but it's sort of like a general thought. I know that when I talk to people who talk about their problems from a place of fear, it tends to manifest as you're doing this thing to me, which is sort of like it ends up being in sort of a combative sort of thing. In other words, if I'm in fear about money and I think somebody else is spending it too much, all of a sudden it becomes a finger pointing exercise at the other person, how they're doing this thing wrong.
And
that's usually sort of like the starting point for some sort of love, because as soon as you start pointing fingers, you know, I'm going to have a stronger reaction to it. But if I start talking about my fear, in other words, I'm fearful about X, Y, and Z, the conversation can be much more rational. Then it can be about the conversation about what it is to be in fear or not having enough money. Like, I think there's a much bigger difference between sort of like the fear of financial insecurity and just not having a lot of money. Gotcha. And so I think we're talking about sort of like two sides of how you focus on communicating the problem with somebody that you love.
That's a great, great suggestion. Yeah, I like that.
Thank you so much. Oh, our pleasure. Thank you, Alan.
Yes. And thank you, Morgana and Devlin. Thank you so much.
Have a great day,
Alan. You are welcome. And Helen, when you're ready.
Hi.
Hi, Helen. How can we help you? What do you need?
Well, before the whole lockdown, I was pretty much a work widow. My husband has a lot of clients, and he's always just work is everything to him. So I didn't see much of him. So I thought, you know, when we were all locked down, that okay, cool, and I would get him home. But it's actually gotten worse. He has his gym set up in the garage. So he heads out there first thing in the morning. He works out all day. In between the sets, he is with clients and writing, you know, for clients. And then he's got a new hobby, which he likes to draw. So he pretty much has just set up camp in the garage. So I pretty much see him maybe if he comes in for dinner and then he goes to bed early. And it's just, you know, I've told him how important time is to me and that I just want to spend time. But it's like beating a dead horse at this point.
Want to start with that?
Well, I mean, I think it kind of goes back. It's an extension of what we were just talking about with Alan. You know, how have you, I'm assuming you've discussed this with him?
Oh, yeah.
And how are you approaching the conversation and what's his response? Like, what's working so far in the communication?
Not much.
So can I ask?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what specifically? Like, okay, so I'm assuming his behavior is upsetting you and maybe not making you feel loved, et cetera. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. And then it kind of starts to filter into other areas.
Of course, absolutely. Because once you start feeling less than loved, it sort of justifies, if there is any justification in his mind, where there's like, oh, now it makes sense that I should be in the garage. So can I ask how you're approaching it?
No, I
like
just,
when you have
I
this
ask
conversation,
him.
What does it sound like? If that's not too...
Just, you know, I would really love to spend some time together and, you know, we can share a common work area. You know, he's writing. It's not like he's, you know, needing a whole lot of quiet space. But I think for him, I really can't even answer where his head's at because I've so many times just said, look, I just want to spend time together. Can we go walk the dogs together? And he'll just say, I don't feel like doing that right now. I've been cooking dinner like almost every night because of, you know, that's pretty much the only family time I get with him is
right.
When I cook, he'll come in. Yeah.
So have you discussed with him about possibly sort of like scheduling time together? In other words, is it possible, or have you approached this yet? Have you approached the possibility of saying, hey, I get it, now's not good. What do you say at 4 o'clock? You know what I mean? Like saying, let's schedule some time together at a particular point. Have you tried that, and how did that go?
Well, yeah, we've done that. And then it's almost like he seems like resentful. And so instead of going on a walk and us talking and walking, he just goes as fast as he can to get the walk over with, way ahead of me, gets home. And I just feel like, okay, that was kind of defeated the purpose. And then I feel like I'm nagging at him if I say, hey, can we walk together? You know, which I have said. And then I just get frustrated. So I think it's been going on for so long.
Yeah. I'm curious, what does he want?
I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, I think he likes the you know, having like the picture of the family, but it's like he doesn't want to be a part of it.
You said a couple a moment ago that you didn't know where his head was at. And have you broached that conversation with him? Not from a standpoint of, hey, it looks like you're, you know, wanting to leave the family. My guess is that he's having some feelings that are sort of putting him in the cave that may have nothing to do with you. That doesn't mean it doesn't negatively impact you. Have you tried to approach that conversation of sort of like, if you don't know where his head's at? Hey,
I mean, he's like divorce and all that stuff is like not even, he would never even, that wouldn't even be, you know, on the forefront of his mind. But he's pretty much been like this for so long. I just don't think he can see that there's anything wrong. He's happy. He's completely happy doing his own thing. Yeah.
So it sounds deeply that the two of you don't want the same thing. It sounds like his soft landing and yours, I don't know if they can coexist. Devin,
I would say that's putting the cart before the horse.
Okay.
I think that you may want to express more fully how you're feeling and sort of like schedule a time. Hey, I'm having a very strong reaction to what's happening in our family. And I love you very much. I'm assuming you still love him and you know, think he's great. And there's underneath what's happening right now that there's a great guy in there. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming you still want to keep the relationship and all that other stuff. I don't know if you have kids, but you still want to keep the relationship, you know, solid and strong. You just want to improve upon it.
Right. It's like, I don't know how to get through. I feel like a nag.
Right. And that's, that is a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing when you don't feel heard. You yourself are either going to develop a resentment or your own anger towards him, which isn't going to be useful. Because what tends to happen is that something happens in a relationship, and it's sort of an inevitable thing, is that during your time together, one person's going to say a thing, and maybe they meant it, maybe they didn't, and the other person's going to take a small step away from the relationship, and it may be even imperceptible. But over years, all of a sudden, you may find that one person took a little tiny step away, and then the other person may have felt something a little strange and felt a little unsafe and then took their own little micro step away, and that initial person felt the little step, and all of a sudden, you look and years go by and there's a much larger chasm. That doesn't mean that now one person is a great person and one person is a terrible person. What it means is that there's been some sort of a slight breakdown that wasn't tended to within the construct of the communication.
What concerns me is when you said that he's happy with a situation that isn't workable for you. What I would encourage, if you can have this kind of conversation together, is together coming up with a dream that includes both of you.
Right.
It's feeling like the relationship really needs to be reimagined. A good place to start is back when it was working. And if the two of you, I would encourage you to reminisce, like, fall back in love with the dream that like your origin story of your relationship.
Right. That's great. That's a great. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you want to go into that energy and that feeling and both of you remember what you found fascinating about the other. And then cast a spell into the future, really kind of going back into the dream that you originally dreamt. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I really, you know, I think for me is my dream is that he would be the one to come and say, hey, let's go do something, you know?
So, right. That is one of those sort of tricky circumstances where you're probably going to be disappointed waiting for him to be sort of like a quality mind reader. And he's probably not going to do that. And my guess is that I'm sure he has some stuff that he probably needs to sort through, and he may not be sensing, or he may not get it, of how impactful his behavior is hurting you. And potentially, because it's hurting you, it's also hurting the relationship. It's one of these things. We're on the radio, and I kind of, this sounds like one of these things that I would want to know more to sort of like give you the best advice I could. But I think sort of like general advice would be sort of schedule a time where you could sit down with him. I think what Morgana's saying is a good idea, to sort of reimagine all of the value that you've offered to each other for the time that you've been together. And I think it would be sort of like, hey, this is what's happening for me. And I need your help. And I would say, in general, most men are really looking to be your hero. Right. And so we want to be helpful. And sometimes we just don't know how. That's why when you're like, well, but I want him to kind of figure it out and come to me, that would be certainly the idea. But most men aren't going to figure it out.
And Devin just used probably the best possible phrase you can ever, ever, ever use with a man, which is, I need your help. It is like,
okay,
it goes to that heroic place in a man's heart, where he gets to come to your rescue. He gets to solve a problem.
Right.
That's something I've never said. So.
Right. And so I would start sort of peppering at least your thought process of what that might look like. Because I'm sure if you said, hey, the refrigerators needs to be moved, would you come in and help me? He would probably come right in and move the refrigerator.
Right.
So what we want to do is we want him to move the refrigerator that is happening in your brain and your heart and the relationship. And I think the same sort of tactic to get him to move the refrigerator is really just as uncomplicated to ask him for your help. But again, because he's doing this thing, there's this, this thing that's happening that it doesn't seem like you're quite getting, and he may not even know why either. You know, this may be, it could be a lot of things. I mean, we're just in such a strange place in the world. We're in such a strange place in the world where I think people don't know what to do with themselves. And they're afraid not only of the virus, but they're afraid of the future and the economy and all of these kinds of things that, I understand why somebody wants to go, hang around in the garage and work out all day. Like, I that makes sense to me. You know, I'm not saying it's good. It's not necessarily great relationship strategy, but I understand sort of like the feelings of frustration and futility and all of that stuff. It's like it, no doubt, and especially I'm speaking to a lot of guys lately who their lives feel like they're spinning a lot of plates. You're probably too young to remember, but Ed Sullivan used to have like these plate spinner guys that would come running around on these poles spinning these plates, and at some point one would wobble on one side and they'd run over and spin it and then have to run to the other side, and it was a complicated thing. And that's sort of I believe how a lot of people are feeling right now. How do you manage sort of our day-to-day stuff when we have this kind of like mild oppression of what's happening in the world around us, which feels uncomfortable, scary, etc.? And I think a lot of us sort of go back to very familiar default mechanisms of life because it's just easier.
Helen, I'm going to give you some ninja tips for how to take some of the kind of conflict out of a touchy conversation. So for you and anybody else who's listening, here are some really easy tips to make it less antagonistic. If possible, try having the conversation sitting side by side, like on a couch or in chairs side by side, so you aren't facing off like football players, where you're actually like a team shoulder to shoulder. And whatever is the challenge in the relationship, I'm going to get a little woo-woo here, but just imagine you're in a bubble of white light and dolphins, you know, create just a little safety bubble of love around the relationship. And then whatever the challenge is, you want to put it outside of the relationship in front of you, like the two of you are watching a TV. And instead of making it the problem is what he's doing or what you want that he doesn't want you to want, you can make, you want to make it less personal so the two of you can gossip about this sort of interloper out there, but your relationship is in a bubble of love. You might want to take a look at the roles that the two of you are playing in the relationship as if they're just robes or costumes. They aren't you. But he, you know, he maybe has the role of the workaholic and you have the role of the naggy wife. What if, and you can talk about the roles not with judgment of each other, but like you can actually try on the roles like costumes, like, oh, workaholic. I can see what if I, Helen, if I, you know, got to experience workaholic and try on that role, oh, this is what's cool about it. And this is what isn't. And he can try on yours and you can experiment with empathy that way, where again, always, always, always the two of you, the team, the relationship is in this little magic bubble of love. And all these challenges are outside the bubble so that you can talk about them as a team and come up with creative team solutions. Does that make sense to you?
No. Oh, yeah, that's great advice. Both of you have been very helpful.
Excellent. So thank you for calling, Helen. And let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Best of luck.
So if you want to call, we now have our lines open. The number is 888-627-6008. Today we're talking about creating a soft landing in love and what to do when love doesn't feel like a soft landing. I think especially these days when the world outside is so dramatic, we don't really want a lot of drama at home. And I think drama at home hurts a little more right now when things are uncertain. So, you know, this is what can we do to bring more love and more softness and more safety into our relationships and get what we need? Devin, what do you have to say?
I don't remember. I was talking about something.
Yes, you were.
But we got some good callers in. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, I think part of obviously the problem is, you know, is that we are a little bit trapped, and we are trapped with each other. And in sort of our primary relationship, it's like, is very small. We don't sort of like all of a sudden we're not going to work in the same way that we did. And if we are going, our spouse, I know a couple of people who are frontline hospital workers that are working on, you know, in COVID, you know, areas, and it's challenging. So you have to be, you know, I think you just have to be really kind to people. And so it looks like we have Teresa on line two.
Teresa.
Hi, Devin and Morgana.
Hello. How can we help?
Hey, Teresa.
Hi. My boyfriend's business has been severely affected by the pandemic, and he's always so supportive of me, and I want to be there for him, you know, during this difficult time. And I'm just finding that I don't know how to do it because he wants to shoulder this, it seems, all by himself. So I was hoping you could help me with some suggestions.
Yeah, that's bizarre for a man to want to do that. That is a kind of cliche thing. And are you looking specifically for how you can help him?
Yes.
Can I ask a question or two if I be so bold?
Oh, absolutely.
How's your relationship otherwise? Like other than this thing? Is it
it's great.
Do you feel pretty confident with him?
We enjoy each other's company and we're usually able to communicate a lot more. It's just been a lot more difficult during this time.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, is he coming to you sort of with the, hey, I'm shouldering this thing. Wow, it's so hard. This is terrible. I can't believe it, but I'm plugging away and I'm doing it.
No, absolutely not. It's, you know, it's the opposite of that. He's becoming more, you know, he's putting on a good face, but he's also becoming more quiet and withdrawn.
Hmm. Yeah, this is probably a really challenging time for his work. You know, as we've been talking with other callers, that we're just in a really unusual time that people don't know how to deal with. And I don't know if
right.
anybody has a really great answer that is across the board.
I would say, because I went through something similar to this with Devin when he had some big losses and challenges in his life. And
okay.
and he withdrew and he wasn't present, and it was painful for me. Men
yes.
don't know what it feels like for us. And that's one of those moments where it's like we have to draw on our own generosity to give him space.
Right.
Like our impulse is to cling and we wanted, we women bond, you know, when we're in pain, we call our girlfriends. And men go into their caves. So it's okay to let him know that you miss him, that you don't feel like he's present. But it's also
right.
really, really important to let him have his process and let it be okay. What is appropriate
okay.
right now is to ask something like, I love you. How can I be supportive of you right now? What do you need from me right now?
Right. I think the problem is, you know, he's a bit stoic and, you know, and he's so accustomed to being able to, you know, being able to handle things, and this, you know, came out of left field, and it's really hard for me
yeah.
to think that he, you know, that he might be needing encouragement, and I don't know how to give it to him.
Can I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to lovingly amend what my wonderful wife just said. She was talking about telling him that you miss him, and that's great. I think that can easily take a person who's under stress and make them feel as though they are lacking where you are concerned.
Yeah, you don't want to add to its feeling of failure.
Exactly.
And right. So just be careful with that. I would probably lean a little bit more saying, I love you. I know that things are stressed and hard, and I am here for you, whatever you
yeah.
need. Just kind of, I would
yeah.
probably lean along those lines and just, you know what I mean? I don't know if you know the kinds of things that make him feel loved, but if you do, you may want to, you know what I mean? Like, in other words, if he likes
uh-huh.
cake and you bake cakes and he's complimented your cakes, then bake him a cake, right?
Right.
If
okay.
it's something else, but you know what I mean? Like, do something to acknowledge it. And even if he says, hey, I wasn't expecting, it's not my birthday, why are you baking a cake? Then it can be, hey, I know that you've just been under this stress. I know that it's a hard time. And just let you know that you're not going through this alone. I'm here to help you. And I think that goes
right.
a really long way without putting him in a position of acknowledging that what he's going through is actually hurting you in a way as well.
And by the way, I always defer to Devin's boy brain on experiencing.
Yeah, because we're much simpler. We really are. We are very, you know, I would argue incredibly uncomplicated. And
yeah.
women are geniuses.
Crack the code, Devin. Just try.
Yeah, no, I can't crack the code. But I do think asking him about what's going on with him, sort of like in a positive way of just acknowledging that this is challenging for him. That you understand why it would be uncomfortable and why, all that stuff. And it may soften him up, because we really are, I think, society in general, and this is changing, I think, in small ways, but I think in general, men sort of take stock in what we do in terms of hobbies, in terms of work, that make us feel, give us a sense of respect, where we're sort of like keeping track of things like that. You know what I mean? And so when things like money in business go south, especially in a situation like this, where we really are in, we haven't experienced anything like this in 100 years. So we don't have anything directly that we can point to and say, oh, yeah, 3 years ago when something similar happened, I did X, Y, and Z, and it was fine. So he's dealing with all of that uncertainty of what it means, plus the challenges of his business.
And pace yourself, because we don't know how long this will last. And it could last for a very long time, this whole world situation. So get your needs met through doubling down, tripling down on self-care. Make sure you have a super strong network of girlfriends. Make sure that you are getting emotionally fed even when he can't feed you in the moment. And just, again, this may be a long time. So give yourself some room to not fix it right now. We don't know what's coming.
Just ironically, on the last call, we talked about this idea that, people take these little small steps away from relationships because of hurt or confusion or sadness or whatever. One of a million things that are normal that happen in relationships and in the world. I think the antidote to those little step backs is quite literally taking a step forward towards love. You know what I mean? In other words, if love was just this thing sitting in the middle of the living room, you would probably not be running away from it. You'd be, probably want to dive right into the batch of love in the living room. And I think that's kind of what ultimately my suggestion would be here. He's probably a great guy. He's probably under the gun. It probably sucks. And here you are feeling uncomfortable and perhaps hopeless or helpless that you can't do more to make him feel loved and supported. And so, consider just making sure that part of what the relationship will be now for you in supporting him is just reminding him that he's got a fabulous, strong woman in his corner and that you guys are going to get through this, however it is that you can help. And you don't have to define it and you don't have to nag him about it, just so he knows.
And believe in him. There is so much magic in just framing in your head that you believe in him and that he will figure it out. You can tell him that, but most importantly, you have to keep believing that yourself, and he will feel that energy. I think that's greatest.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's a great idea.
And that's good, because I think we're down to about 30 seconds left in our show.
So,
okay. Well, thank you so much for your help.
Rock, Teresa. And
thank you.
Join our community at Crazy Sexy Midlife Love, because we're once every other week, and we can send you a reminder when our next show is going to come up in 2 weeks from today at 5 p.m. Pacific time at bbsradio.com/Crazy Sexy Midlife Love.
And feel free to ask questions there and leave comments. And most importantly, please let us know how you're doing moving forward. And hopefully it's going to be wonderful. And you guys are going to, be blissfully happy as you both move closer, towards love.
Yes.
Is there much? I don't even know if we got to the subject.
Show you a soft landing.
I know you will. Yeah, that's probably going to be happening. So. So, but in terms of our topic, I don't even know if we've kind of covered enough of this. So we'll probably revisit this idea at some point down the road, because
I'm sure
I think there's
a
lot more to say on, you know, how do we work with the person that we love to kind of give them healing and hope and comfort? Because, you know, out there is a scary, scary place. Uncomfortable, weird.
But it's nice, warm, and soft inside.
Yes. It is all of those, it is all of that and more. And so what else? Do we have any final thoughts for the day?
I think we're out of time.
Are we? Okay. Well, then this has been another great episode of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Thank you so much. And we'll look forward to seeing you all again next week.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay. 2 weeks.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.